720 WGN. I'm John Landecker with Art Bell, author, entertainment conceptual genius, and frustrated creative person.
That's quite an introduction, John. Thank you. I don't know. Or should I not say thank you?
Well, Art has written the book Constant Comedy, How I Started Comedy Central and Lost My Sense of Humor. Yep, that's it. Which, of course, would seem to be somewhat of a, I guess, oxymoron.
Well, it was a surprise.
Yeah.
Let me tell you that. You know, you think you work in the comedy business and everything's going to be funny. But the point of that subtitle is everything is not funny. And it's very hard work. And sometimes it can be oppressive. I mean, the comedy business is a tough business.
Well, all of show business is a tough business. And I think that you've hit the nail on the head in a variety of levels, is that the images that are portrayed, whether it's Comedy Central or whether it's Hollywood, movies, television shows, you're seeing or hearing the final product, and it seems great, but how that product got there is never easy. And I think
that's right, John. And that's one of the things, one of the reasons I wanted to write this book, because I think people watching comedy today, Comedy Central, it's 30 years old.
Yeah.
Can you believe that? It's 30 years old. They probably think that Comedy Central was shot out of a cannon, fully formed, completely successful, and just cruising right along. No, it wasn't. It was the first year I went to work every day thinking they were going to shut us down. That's how bad things were. And it took us a long time to find our footing.
Well, start obviously at the beginning, but this is pretty much the idea of a comedy channel is pretty much your idea, isn't it, Art?
Yeah, that's right.
This is what I'm saying.
I had been thinking, I loved comedy as a kid.
Yeah.
I loved comedy, listened to all the albums and wrote some comedy in high school, performed a little in college, you know, the whole thing. And I ended up in grad school, and I wanted to get into the television business. So when I graduated from graduate school, I said, hey, you know, it would be really fun to work at a comedy channel, but there isn't one. And, you know, that surprised me because it was an all-sports channel. There was, you know, music channel, news, all these 24-hour channels. I said, wait a second, how can there not be an all-comedy channel? I love comedy. I know there's other people out there who would love comedy and, you know, on a comedy channel. And what's the deal? But there wasn't. And I talked to people about it, and they said things like, well, it's too expensive. You know, comedy's a lot of writers, difficult to do, nobody really wants it. Who's going to watch 24 hours of comedy? You know, I mean, I got all kinds of answers like that. But, I hung in there with it. I kept pitching it at every opportunity.
Who would you talk to? Who did you pitch it to?
Well, I guess my most interesting meeting was with the head of HBO programming. I was working at HBO at the time. I was a marketing analyst. So I was a pretty junior level at HBO. And I decided I'm just going to go pitch the head of programming. Her name was Bridget. I went up there. I made an appointment, went to her office, and I said, Bridget, I really think HBO should launch an all-comedy channel. And she said, stop right there. That is the worst idea I've ever heard.
Yep.
And let me tell you why. No comedians are going to be... She said, do you think Robin Williams is going to want to be on an all-comedy channel? No. And not only that, why would HBO risk its reputation? And not only that, there's plenty of comedy on television already. We don't need a 24-hour comedy channel. And then she sent me off. And I was a little disappointed, I got to say. But, walking down the hall after that meeting, I just realized almost immediately she's wrong. She is just wrong. There will be a comedy network, and I hope I'm around when they start it so I can work there.
Well, I think you've experienced what a lot of people experience, not just confined to show business-related endeavors, but any business where you have an idea for something and you go to somebody with that idea. I bet 9 times out of 10 you're going to get, nah, that'll never work. Nobody's ever going to want to do that. I mean, my experience doesn't parallel yours, but I've had plenty of those. Hey, I got a great idea, guys. Why don't we do this? No. And it's just, I don't know, it's somehow there's a certain management mindset on some management, not all, that this there is a shield that comes down to new ideas, like, you know, radar or something. Danger, danger. Art's got a great idea. Stop him now. Because that's the kind of reaction you get.
You know, I think you've got that exactly right, especially in the entertainment industry, where it's really, you've got a million ideas flying around back and forth. People trying to grab them, take credit for the ones that they think are going to work. Or, you know, it's a very creative and very exciting environment, but it's also an environment where most people are saying no most of the time.
All the time. Well, not all the time, but
well, yeah. If it was all the time, we wouldn't be having this conversation, right? There'd be no entertainment business. But, and I think business is like, and listen, entertainment is nothing if not a business. I mean, it's first and foremost, somebody's got to make money doing all this. And so that is a consideration. And people look at these things, it's so much easier to say no. Especially when you're talking to somebody about a big idea. And in those days, you know, starting a channel was not something easy to do or inexpensive. You had to have uplink equipment to the satellite. Right. You had to lease satellite time. You had to have, you know, all the distribution capability. You had, you know, you just needed a lot of infrastructure to get a channel started. I mean, nowadays it's easier with digital, but in those days, And it was expensive. And people were not real excited about taking on that kind of a risk without knowing it was going to be spectacularly successful. But somebody finally listened to me.
Who was the head
of HBO. He's the chairman of HBO. His name was Michael Fuchs. And luckily, Michael was the guy who was responsible for putting all that great comedy on HBO. You know, he did put Robin Williams' one-hour special on HBO. All those highly produced comedy specials were his idea. And he got to be chairman. So when I pitched him, he listened. And he thought about it. And he asked me some good questions. How are we going to do this cheaply enough? And I told him. Because by that time, I had been thinking about it for years. And I really had thought through what the programming would be, what the finances would be. I thought through every possible iteration of the thing. And I sold him on the vision. I said to him, Michael, if this thing works, we will be the center of the comedy universe. Mm-hmm. And that's what I wanted Comedy Central to be.
We'll do more with Art and find out what it was about this Comedy Central that made him lose his sense of humor. But I think you're getting the idea already. When we come back on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, I'm John Landecker. Thank you for tuning in. We've got Art Bell, author of Constant Comedy, How I Started Comedy Central and Lost My Sense of Humor. And that was just a brief clip of the old Daily Show with Jon Stewart theme. But playing that sort of takes me back from reading your book as to, gosh, where do I take this now? When you're over there trying to get this thing started, Comedy Central, it gets on the air and you're stumbling around a little bit. And then if I'm correct in what I read, the breakthrough moment, so to speak, maybe an aha moment, was the State of the Union address, State of the Union Undressed. Is that correct?
That was a real turning point for Comedy Central, mostly because we got noticed by the press for the first time in a positive way. And the press started saying things like, hey, these guys are doing something really interesting, and this is some real innovative comedy. What we did is we covered the President's State of the Union address live, and we had comedy commentary going on live. And the first comedian to do that was Al Franken. We got Al Franken to do that. I like to think we started his political career, but he'd probably deny that. He was hysterically funny. I mean, he's very smart, obviously, very funny, and it was great. And it was something that nobody would have tried before. And it was just a great moment for us. And it also, you know, you've played the clip from The Daily Show. It also, you can draw a straight line between that and our coverage that took place on The Daily Show and beyond. I mean, from 1992 on, we started covering politics and the conventions and news, and, you know, we really started getting into it, and that was really important to defining who we were and who we were going to become.
Dennis Miller was one of the hosts of a subsequent State of the undressing the State of the Union. Am I correct about that?
Yeah, he did a State of the Union address. He was doing it by himself,
now,
live on the air. That was a notable night for everybody.
Now, tell the bathroom story.
Well, what happened is the State of the Union address went long, and Dennis was by himself on the air, and it was live, of course, and he had to go to the bathroom, and he really didn't know what to do. So finally, he stood up, and I'm watching on the monitor from the green room, he stood up and said, "I got to go," and walked out. He's still mic'd. There was no bathroom around, so he looked around, and there was a garbage can there, and he went to the bathroom in the garbage can while he was on the air. Now, you didn't see it, but you kind of experienced it through Dennis's earpiece. And then he went back without missing a beat, just went back, sat down, continued doing what he was doing. It was a great show. The funny part is, at the end of the show, he came running out, signed off, ran out. He said, "I just killed my career." He was so distraught. He thought it was horrifying what went on. And he ran down the hall, and he ran into the bathroom. And our head of talent, Lori Zaks, who usually would have talked him off the ledge, she wouldn't go into the men's bathroom, so I had to go in there and talk him into the fact that it was a great show. He didn't kill his career, and everything turned out fine. But that was quite a night.
Ironically, as I was reading that story, in the past year, on some Zoom calls, there have been instances where people didn't realize that they were still on camera, and they went and did on-camera-like things. And there's also a scene in one of the Naked Gun movies where Frank gets up from this meeting, and he's got a mic on, and it's exactly what you're talking about. He goes in.
Yeah, I don't want to overstate the situation. It's not like the entire audience went, "Oh, my God." They knew what was going on, but it wasn't kind of graphic.
I think it's hysterical.
You just knew what was going on.
Of course. And it was live, and it was ad lib. I mean, and nobody.
And he didn't do it to shock anybody.
Of course not.
He didn't do it because he was stupid. He did it because he had to go to the bathroom. He had no other choice.
I was in reading the book. I noticed we have a few similarities growing up. You listened to Bill Cosby albums. It said here, trying to mimic them, and I did the same. I did the same thing with the Button Down Mind of Bob Newhart.
Love Bob Newhart. I listen to that too.
And subscribing to Mad Magazine.
Mad Magazine, the source of all humor in America to this day. That's my feeling about it.
What, me worry? Absolutely.
Great stuff.
So you're at Comedy, wait a minute, what are we calling it now when you're there?
It's still Comedy Central.
Comedy Central. But there was a whole thing about what to name it.
Yeah, well, you know what? We launched it at HBO originally. I pitched it to HBO. We launched it at HBO, and we called it the Comedy Channel. Because what else do you call a comedy channel but the Comedy Channel? And about 6 months after we launched, we got a competitor. And the competitor was called HA, the Comedy Network. And that was launched by MTV Networks. And believe me, I wasn't too excited about having a competitor. I had enough problems trying to get the channel going. But suddenly there's two comedy networks in the world, and we're going head-to-head and fighting for audience and subscribers and advertisers and talent. It wasn't pretty. And at the end of 6 months, at the end of the year, actually, I got a call, and they said, "Okay, we're merging the channels," which to me was the craziest thing I ever heard. It was like, you're kidding me. We were fighting these guys tooth and nail for 6 months, and now we're merging. And we merged, and they said, they put me together with the head of programming of the other channel, HA, and they said, "You guys have to figure out what the channel is going to be, and you have to name it. You can't call it the Comedy Channel, and you can't call it HA." So we had to rename it. Crazy, right?
Yeah. But the name
Comedy Central is, we hired all these, and you can imagine, this is New York City, we hired all these very expensive naming companies to figure out what to name it, and they came up with crazy, crazy names. But one guy said, what you really want is for this to be the center of the comedy universe. I mentioned that before. He said, that's good. He said, this should be Comedy Central. And I said, hey, that sounds like a good name. And he said, no, you would never call it Comedy Central. Too on the nose. So we said, okay. But we did some testing of the other names that they suggested, and we threw in Comedy Central, and guess what? Comedy Central came back from the research as the most popular name for the Comedy Network, and that's what we named it, Comedy Central.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, no kidding.
In that comment about how you could indeed start Comedy Central and lose your sense of humor, because every step of the way, there is somebody who wants to stick out their foot and have you trip for whatever reason. Then there are consultants who come in and they're hired to give their two cents. And then you have your focus groups and your audience measurements and this demographic and this study and that return and this survey. I mean, it's show business, but sometimes the business part gets just almost too much to bear.
Well, you know what it reminds me of? The whole process is improvisation. You're constantly trying to react to what's going on.
Yeah.
You're constantly trying to figure out how to make things better that day and how to do more of what's working and less of what's not working. That's just on a day-to-day business basis. Besides all the other stuff going on, you know, trying to source new talent, coming up with new great ideas. I mean, people expect the 24-hour comedy network to constantly be pumping out innovative comedy, constantly putting out, you know, new talent. And that was a lot of work for a lot of people. But, you know, I don't want to make it sound so horrible. We had a lot of fun.
I understand,
you know,
that.
One of the fun things was coming up with the ideas. We had a group called the Buzz Committee, and we'd meet twice a week, and we'd just knock around crazy ideas. And some of them, that's how we got to State of the Union Undressed, and that's how we got to a lot of other great stuff.
You mentioned Al Franken earlier. John yep. Stewart was there early on with a partner doing something before The Daily Show.
Yeah, John Stewart. We hired John Stewart. He went on the Comedy Channel on day one. He was co-host of a show called Short Attention Span Theater, which we loved and was successful. And he had a co-host named Patty Rossborough, another comedian, and the two of them were, you know, sort of hosting the show. But John was the star, and Patty was, you know, John was so funny that Patty spent a lot of time laughing at him.
Yeah.
And it was decided that Patty had to go. So they told Patty she had to go. They did not tell John Stewart that they were firing Patty. And somehow it came to me. I don't know how I got this job, but somehow it came to me. It's like, Art, John Stewart is really upset. He's threatening to quit because we fired Patty. He, you know, you got to go down and talk to him. So I go down and I talk to John Stewart. And the thing is, that was the moment when I realized what a great person John Stewart was, because he said, look, you can't just fire my partner. What do you think this is? That's crazy. She was great, and you didn't tell me? You know, I'm not going to work at a place like this. That's ridiculous. And he was really defending Patty. And I thought, man, what a great guy. He's not even talking about himself.
Right.
Some guys would have given
him
left arm to be on TV by themselves. Anyway, I talked him into not leaving, and he stayed with the network for quite a while. He did go to MTV, I guess, after a few years, and then came back to do The Daily Show.
And that was unbelievably successful.
Well, that
was a juggernaut. I mean, that launched so many different people into the comedy/showbiz universe. What was it that finally got you to the point where either you left or they wanted you to leave? Why did that relationship end?
My boss, the president, was brought in at the time of the merger. He was a financial guy, basically, and he didn't know much about comedy.
Uh-huh.
To make a long story short, the board didn't love him. And so at the end of, I guess it was 6 or 7 years, they fired him. And when your boss gets fired, as you know, in show business, as in most businesses, you may have some trouble. And I did. The new guy came in, and like a lot of new guys in show business, said, okay, you know, everybody out, I got my team. And he called me in, actually, and he said something interesting. He said, you know what? You got your fingerprints all over this place. I can't have you here. And the message was, he wanted to do it his way, and I got that. But it was a tremendous disappointment to me, right, personally, because I had really taken this job as more than a job, because I'd pitched it, I helped get it launched, right, I worked so hard on it, and I got to the point where it was obviously going to be very successful, and then they said, thanks for your help.
That's why the book is called Constant Comedy, How I Started Comedy Central and Lost My Sense of Humor. Well, hopefully you've got that sense of humor back, and I want to thank you for being with us.
John, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
And where do we get the book? Got to do that.
Tom's the easiest one if you have a computer or your local bookstore. And if you want to learn more about me, you can go to artbellwriter.com. And big news, we are doing a podcast called the Constant Comedy Podcast to celebrate the 30th anniversary of the launch of Comedy Central, and that launches on April 1st, and you can hear it at all the usual places, iHeart, Apple.
Thank you. Thanks, Art.